here with the dragons, are we back up in here? Spit fire from the back of your ears, coming straight from the belly of the beast that's in the back of your ear, whispering shit that's got you clapping your rear. This panic and fear is damaging. Radical stages of behavior that's got you on a scat eating, looking for the big
bite. Well, that was a main event.
Oh, yes. You hit the button and we're talking now.
I did. I just totally blindsided Lee.
Yeah, so I was blaming Roman Reigns for network issues.
Yeah, just and, that's what the that's what the internet fan base would do.
You're welcome.
Yeah. so another good as always episode of NXT UK. I'm still reeling from that was a crazy main event.
It was a super crazy main event.
Yeah, there was a lot of pain.
A lot of steel, a lot of tables, a lot of kickies.
It was high impact. We'll get to that, but let's run down this episode. Well, let's run down where were you last week, Lee?
Oh, I was in Washington.
Hey,
all my weeks are blending together now. I don't even know. But I was in our nation's capital in New Jersey. Which is not our nation's capital.
No, it's not.
No. And I got to see two hockey wins, and it was nice.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Lee with the radical road trips and whatnot. So, did you have a good time?
I did.
Fun? It was worth it?
I didn't want to come back.
Fine. It's whatever. I'm glad that New Jersey is better than home with your...
Well, I didn't say that. Let's not get too crazy.
Well, you don't want to come back home and be with your...
Well, I want to keep traveling.
With your family and friends and whatnot who missed you. Hi. Aww. Thank you very much. All right. So this episode of NXT UK from the 6th of February, we started things off with Piper Niven and Danny Luna, who was just recently signed by NXT UK. It's
yes.
About freaking time.
Yes.
She's made a few appearances on NXT UK over the last few months and is now actually an official member of the roster along with Candy Floss. So that's awesome. So NXT UK's women's division getting more depth. I like it. So this is a good, fun sportsmanship match. They definitely put Danny's strength over. She has a powerlifting background, and they kind of used that throughout the whole match because it was kind of Danny trying to outpower Piper, and at one point she kind of had it. Like I actually sort of bit on it a little bit, like, oh man, are they gonna put her over here? I mean, you know, it didn't quite get to that, but like,
yeah,
it was competitive.
Yeah, it was very competitive. She has a unique look to her, and I think it's mainly because she's not wearing knee pads. It always throws me off.
Yeah, I know.
And then her hair matched Piper's outfit, so they kind of just blended.
It was kind of nice and matchy.
Yeah,
it was good. Yeah, she has a cool teal green hair going, and she's from Wales, so more Welsh representation in UK. That's awesome. It was a good back and forth match, clean the whole time, a little bit of exchanging of holds, some attempts at some power moves and whatnot, but in the end it was Piper Niven with the Michinoku driver picking up the win. So I think it's good to keep Piper strong after eating the pin at TakeOver,
yeah.
So give her another win coming back, because this is her first appearance on the show since TakeOver.
Yeah, so. And... I don't think Danny probably should have got the win anyway in their first match, unless they were like building her up as some like.
Not her first match.
Yeah.
In fact, this would have been taped before she was actually signed, I think. So.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the next time we see her, she probably will be, like, maybe in a winning effort or something.
Yeah.
But good deal though. After this, we got a quick Gallus pre-tape promo with the tag champs, pretty much just putting themselves over.
Yeah.
we didn't really get necessarily an idea of direction as far as maybe who their next opponents are going to be after they retained in the big chaotic ladder match, but just a nice firm reminder that the Gallus boys are still on top.
Yep.
And we also heard from Jordan Devlin, who was recently crowned the new NXT Cruiserweight Champion. And he
awesome.
It is awesome. Jordan Devlin is so good.
Yes.
So he still hasn't been in front of the UK crowd since winning that title, and I've been curious to see how they were going to handle that. And I'm wondering, like, are, you know, if we're even going to see him on UK at all the remainder of these York tapings, just because, like, he wouldn't have had the championship yet at that point.
Yeah,
this is the problem you face with the taping schedule and whatnot. But he reiterates that pound for pound, he claims to be the best sports entertainer on the planet, and now he has the championship to prove that he's the best wrestler under 205 pounds. You go, Jordan Devlin. Never bet against the ace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Next up is Tyler Bate versus A-Kid. The mentor versus the I don't know. It's not mentee. What is that? The trainee, protégé? The protégé. Protégé, that's the word that we wanted. The mentor versus the protégé. There it is.
Yes, it was good, very deal. Fun. Relatively, like, back and forth match, especially with the holds.
It was fast-paced, too.
Yeah, especially, A-Kid had him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Until he finally broke out and was like, hey, it's not right.
Like, hey, not quite. Not quite, kid.
Yeah.
It was another sportsmanship match. This was good and clean and just counter for counter for counter for counter, and I like that they kept, like, kind of learning from each other, like Tyler Bate fought out of the head scissor and then got A-Kid back in the headlock that he'd been working over, and then A-Kid got him back in the head scissors and Bate broke back out and didn't fall for the same trap again. So it was like they kept building on these concepts throughout the match with stuff like that, and just hold for hold and just a breakneck pace. It was relentless the whole time. Like, it never really, even though there were holds, it was like it never stopped. They went at it for 10 straight minutes.
Yep.
It was good. A-Kid hit a huge moonsault from the top rope to the outside. Just a total daredevil move. Back into the ring, and A-Kid went off the top rope, but Tyler caught him with a drop kick, and then he hit the big clothesline, turned him inside out. Like, A-Kid did a straight up backflip with this clothesline, made Tyler Bate look like a killer. And then Tyler Driver 97 put him down. So A-Kid's been about 50-50 in the win column since making his debut. So and clearly they see, like, a strong future for him.
Yeah, and you kind of figured that he wouldn't get the win in the first match between the two. But I'm sure he'll either get the win in the next one or come, like, insanely close.
You think you could see them, like, coming back to this at some point?
Oh, yeah. They could probably do quite a few matches.
Could probably do, like, yeah. Could probably do a series with A-Kid just slowly, like, getting closer and closer to beating him. And then finally getting the win. Yeah, and that'll be like, massive. Be huge for him. Set him off in his career in NXT UK. Post-match, Joseph Connors is out here. And he's got a lot to say. He recalls the night that Tyler Bate became the first NXT UK champion because he was there. And it's been accolade after ever since then for Mr. Takeover, while Joseph Connors, in his own words, has been left to rot. And he says that when you're done playing around with boys and you want to get in the ring with men, he'll show you everybody why he's worthy. He didn't say Takeover, they just said worthy. So I guess this is where we're going for now with Tyler Bate. What do you think of Joseph Connor's push recently? It's been this kind of slow burn push.
It's nice to see a slow burn push, like, not just all at once.
Yes.
And, I feel like it'll be worth it. Like, a match between him and Tyler Bate will be really good and competitive.
Yeah.
Put him over more.
For sure, yeah. It's nice to see things develop over a long period of time instead of just hot-shotting something right into the here and now immediately, and then it's like over, and it's like, okay, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad we did that. We go backstage after this, and it is a clip from quote unquote last week. And Bomber Dave Mastiff is storming through the hallways backstage looking for Walter, screaming for him. So, are you excited about the idea of a Dave Mastiff and Walter match?
It'll be... Somehow I feel like it'd be more hard-hitting than even Walter and Joe Coffey.
I think it could be.
Like, it's a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, his next opponent.
Because Joe Coffey is, like, I think, like a more technical... Like, is more of a technical wrestler than Dave Mastiff is, but Dave Mastiff obviously is bigger. And I think this, too, is, as much as Coffey and Walter was them just beating the crap out of each other, I think you're right. This would literally just be... This will be even more of just two people just beating the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Two big boys.
Oh, yeah. You think they'll do this at as the main event of, like, a UK taping, or do you think you could see this going all the way to, like, TakeOver Tampa?
If they do a match at TakeOver Tampa, I could see that doing that, like having the match there.
I only bring that up just because I think last couple of years they've done a UK title match at WrestleMania weekend at TakeOver. So figuring
they did it last year. Did they do it the year before?
Did they? I thought they did it the year before. Or I know.
No, because it was New Orleans, so no, it wasn't.
Oh, no. New Orleans didn't. No, you're right. It was Chicago, I think. Or something. Or
Chicago
That was 2 years ago. That was whenever Pete Dunne beat Tyler Bate.
2017.
Yeah. And my God. Pete Dunne had that belt forever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they... Because obviously it's not going to be Portland because that
card's no, already stacked. That is looking
if
like...
If they do decide to do one at Tampa, I could see it being there. If not, it would probably be a taping.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to end up doing that sooner or later here now because they planted the seed for it. So I'd like to see it at TakeOver Tampa. It'd be cool to see those guys get the big spotlight. I've been kind of hoping for a Dave Mastiff Walter match for a bit, so now that we're getting it, I'm excited. Just beat the crap out of each other. Pretty Deadly versus Ashton Smith and Oliver Carter. So we've seen Pretty Deadly a couple of times. And Ashton Smith and Oliver Carter, a couple of guys that it took a while for them to really hit their stride and get some momentum going, but now they've racked up a couple of tag team victories in a row. And that was the case again here. Pretty basic stuff. Some tag moves, short heat from Pretty Deadly. I really liked that double flying uppercut thing they did where they crossed the ring.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Especially, like crossing to do it was...
Like, over and under and everything? Yeah. Like, that was
very
nifty.
Unexpected and very new and cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a nice spot. That caught me off guard. I was, wasn't expecting it, so that was neat. And then everything broke down, and Smith had gotten, I forget which, if it was Sam Stoker or Lewis Howley, but... he had got one of them up in the electric chair and then drove him down onto the knee, and that got the pinfall. So Carter and Smith keep rolling. But Pretty Deadly caught some heat after the match. They jumped him.
Yeah.
So maybe this is going to be a little bit of a thing. I don't know.
Well, could be.
Yeah. The UK tag division is deeper than a lot of people, like, I think, probably give it credit for. But, you know, you obviously had the four teams that were in the big ladder match. And then you've got Carter and Smith. You got Pretty Deadly. You had the outliers, but one of them just got called up to regular NXT. So I guess they're not a UK tag team anymore. But Lorcan and Birch are doing UK stuff now too. Like deep tag division.
Yeah, a lot of teams.
Really good stuff. Be cool to see Riddle and Dunn. Do something in UK too, like with them being this makeshift tag team. I don't know how long they're gonna be a tag team for. If this is just a short term program or what, but
yeah, I don't know. They
hard to see those two being a tag team. Like
I don't know. They're pretty over right now on NXT.
They definitely are.
Yeah,
it's just kind of weird to see two
like that dumb Bobby Fish promo they did. so dumb, but it was good.
It was one of those things that's just, yeah, it is. It's like, oh, God, like you know, dumb, funny. We see Ilya Dragunov training. He's got a sledgehammer and he's smacking a big tractor tire and addressing the Joe Coffey situation. He said he was there to help but he's training, so if my days are numbered, you better count fast, he says, and he's smacking the tire and keeps smacking the tire and keeps smacking the tire. Okay, so I really felt like the last kind of, like this last sort of quarter of the show was really all the stuff that really, really made the show this week.
Yeah, it picked up very, very quickly.
Yeah, so Kaylee Ray, our UK Women's Champion, with the in-ring promo, and she brings up the events of TakeOver, and she says that she proved that no matter who or how many people you throw at her, she's the best, and that the championship is hers, and it's staying with her. And she says she sort of understands Toni Storm a little bit now, because the having the championship is intoxicating with all the money and power and fame that comes with it, and it's all hers. But then here's Toni!
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 It's Toni time!
Toni, it's always Toni time. And Toni means business, and she is just livid, and she reiterates that Kaylee Ray stole the win from her, which she kind of did. I mean, it's a triple threat, so, you know, all's fair, but Toni did have Piper beat, and then Kaylee Ray swooped in and stole the pin. So there is still unfinished business here, and they lay the groundwork, and it looks like we're going to get it. Kaylee Ray versus Toni Storm in an I Quit match for the Women's Championship. That's big.
That's really big.
I can't think off the top of my head of another time I've seen a Women's I Quit match.
I was just trying to think of one, and nothing's coming.
I can't think of one. I'm going to feel really stupid if there's one I should know about, but I literally can't remember one.
I don't think so. I know they've obviously been Hell in a Cell matches and stuff like that, but I don't think ever an I Quit match.
No, yeah. They've done that. They've done tables. They've done Last Woman Standing, you know, and Becky's been involved in a few of those. And, you know, but TLC, obviously, but I can't remember an I Quit. So this is going to be cool. And this really deserves, like, a TakeOver level stage as well, I think. But yeah. I get the feeling this is probably going to be, like, the match that, like, main events this entire set of tapings. So probably, like, the sixth and final episode from this or whatever, we'll get this match. So what are you thinking? I mean, how do you think this is going to go?
Love to see Toni get the victory. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who would even challenge Kaylee after this.
Yeah, they kind of need to build somebody up, don't they?
They definitely do.
Because right now there's not really anybody, yeah, like you said, that jumps out as, like, the next challenger. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see. I can't see Toni surrendering.
No, I can't either.
Like, that's just goofy. And
plus, I mean, Kaylee's had a pretty decent reign at this point. So, I mean, if she lost the title, it wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, because she's had it since TakeOver Cardiff, and that was August still.
Yeah.
I mean, barely, but it was August, technically. Yeah. so she has had it for, you know, 5 months now. So yeah, I mean, if she lost it at the taping, that wouldn't be that bad. And if she did, then I suppose that would mean they could go to another match, because yeah, they would kind of be one apiece on the one-on-one matches with each other. So I think some people are saying that this could be, like, the match that they use as Toni's kind of send-off from UK for her to join Full Sail NXT full-time. Which I could see that as well, but, you know, that'd be a hell of a blow for UK to lose Toni.
Yeah.
Because she really is, like, the face of the women's division in that brand, so.
Especially since Rhea is on NXT now.
Right, it's like as soon as people start getting really over at UK, they just move them over to NXT. Yeah. And, not even with, I mean, we got Pete Dunne over here now, too.
Yep.
So, I guess we'll see what happens, but either way, we should get a damn good match between those two. We find out next week we are getting Gallus versus Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. That should be a nice, hard-hitting affair. throw them up. Once again, I don't know exactly how to say this name, but we saw that we get the promo video again for, Ife Valkyrie. I know the last name's Valkyrie. I don't know how to say the first name. And I feel really bad about that. But she's making her debut next week. So that's going to be awesome. That little 20-second trailer they give her, like, it looks like an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Super high quality trailer for her debut. So this main event was... this was hard hitting. So we got Eddie Dennis and Trent Seven Steel Corner Street Fight. And my God, did they barely spend any time in the ring. Eddie came out first and Trent Seven came out and just immediately went on the attack. Didn't even do his signature deal with the towel, just went straight after him. And it did not take long for the action to spill out of the ring. Those chops
were insane and left marks.
They left marks. They were loud. They reverberated throughout the building.
Yep.
He hit him with so many throughout the match. Eddie tried to utilize the stairs, and they tease the severed bridge, which is also, you could maybe you might call it Splash Mountain, you might call it Razor's Edge, but they teased that onto the stairs. But Trent escaped. Some more chops. I love the spot. Eddie ducks the chop and then just gets DDT'd on the stairs.
Yep.
And then he just flopped over the barricade. After getting DDT, he just bailed over the barricade. So they were fighting in the crowd. And then they did it. They freaking did it. Dennis hoisted him up and threw him over the barricade onto the stairs. Yep. I mean, that could have been the finish.
Yeah, it definitely could have. And I'm surprised it didn't, but...
this is like the halfway point.
Yeah.
It was like the death of Trent Seven was halfway mark of this match. This was way crazier than their takeover match, and that's usually not the case. But you know, it makes sense with the story that they're telling, and I really kind of hope it's not over with these two, because if they keep putting on stuff like this, we do get back into the ring, and when the action is in the ring, there's a lot of the guy's trying to avoid the corners. It makes sense in the psychology of the match. And then we spill back outside and they fight over to the announce table area. And this was just, they're fighting on top of the table. The table starts to buckle, but luckily someone had conveniently placed a second table in front of the announce desk.
Yep.
And we got a frickin' Birmingham off the desk through a table.
Yeah, the desk that almost imploded on itself.
Yeah, it did. It was creaking. It was starting to give. I was worried. Kudos to Dennis for still taking that move. Like, yeah. It's like, here the desk is bowing, and then you got to get hoisted up on Trent's shoulders, and then take the Birmingham off that desk through a table.
Yeah,
like. Damn.
Yeah.
What I mean, that's you know, I know that over the years we've seen people like fall off the Titantron and get thrown off the Hell in the Cell and all kinds of crazy bumps in like the TLC matches, but still, like, to take a move like that through a table onto the floor like that is just, you know, I mean, it's risky, and it was just brutal. Fighting back to the ringside area, Trent went for the twisting senton off the barricade, but missed and bounced off the floor. Then we finally kind of got the turnbuckles into play. There was that brutal spot where Eddie was like just pulling Trent's face into the steel.
Yep.
That looked uncomfortable.
It looked insanely uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's not a thing I'd want to experience. Finally back into the middle of the ring, and Trent bounced Eddie off of multiple corners and then hit a second Birmingham in the middle of the ring to win it. I mean, I don't know if this little feud is over. I say little just as in, like, it's been short. It's, you know, not been a super long feud. It's been like kind of over the last like month and a half or so, but this may, it might be over. It might not. Eddie was on the outside of the ring afterwards going, I hate you. But Trent Seven did stand tall. How about that match, man?
It was insane. A lot of spots. A lot of...
A lot of holy shit moments.
Yeah, a lot of holy shit crazy spots. But if that is the end of the feud, which I don't know if it is or not, but it would be a good way to cap it off for sure.
Absolutely, because it's like, if it's not, then you got to find a way to go bigger than that. Yeah. And like, I feel like this could be a where their paths do diverge. But even so, I mean, Eddie Dennis did get a takeover win over Trent Seven, so he's been elevated. And Trent Seven got this match to kind of like redeem himself. So it's like, I feel like at the end of the day, they both really came out of it like for the better.
Yeah.
So that is our episode this week. I believe we've got 3 episodes left from these York tapings. And then after that, we should get to, I don't know where they are next, but that should be the tapings that get us all the way to WrestleMania.
Yep.
So if there is going to be a UK match on the takeover card that weekend, it should start to take shape at that point. But a lot of good, interesting stuff in the works. It looks like we're going to get something with Dragunov and Joe Coffey. The tag division is getting deeper and deeper. The women's division is getting deeper. We're not done with Toni Storm and Kaylee Ray. We've got Massive and Walter on the horizon looming for us there. So, a lot of good stuff going on UK.
Yep.
As per always. As per usual. It's a great brand. I'm anxious to see what the future is going to hold for Jordan Devlin on the brand. I'm kind of hoping he's going to defend the Cruiserweight title on both shows. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Super nice.
Yeah. I mean, you can even also see like people from NXT like come to NXT UK to challenge him for the Cruiserweight title there. So like, there's a lot you can do with all of that. Lee.
Yes.
Where can the people follow you on the socials?
LEIGHTX13 on Twitter, and then it's 40 on Instagram.
LEIGHTX13. Yep. On Twitter.
Yep.
Yes.
That's 40 on Instagram.
Yes. So those are Red Wings numbers.
Yes.
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 Pavel Datsyuk and Henrik Zetterberg.
Yes.
Two people who I miss a lot.
We all miss.
We do. We've been to a lot of we've been to LCA a lot lately in the last week.
This season, yeah.
Well, in this season, yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, this week I've been there 3 times, almost 4.
I've been there 3 times this past week too. Yeah. Pistons were doing good. I've seen 2 Pistons wins in the last week, and then we just traded our best player. I didn't know it Wednesday, but I was at Andre Drummond's last game in a Pistons uniform.
Unless he comes back,
but he had a hell of a game. Like we're not that far out of a playoff spot, and the 7 seed was like still in reach. And it's like, if we would have been able to go on enough of a run to get the 7 seed, it's like, well, then who knows? We could have maybe made some noise in the playoffs if we draw the right opponent. But geez. So the Pistons are, I guess, in total tank mode now. Red Wings are in a rebuild. Lions are bad. The Tigers are bad. Detroit sports are really bad right now.
Yep. It's not fun.
It's not. You know, 15, 20, 25 years ago, Detroit sports were pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, 3 of our 4 teams were championship contenders any given year. And we won a few. Wings have won 4 in our lifetimes, and
yep.
Pistons have won 3. But, yeah, it's...
3 in your lifetime.
How many in your lifetime?
I think it's 1.
What year were you born?
90.
Unless that's like so yeah. So 2 in your lifetime. Oh,
wow.
But, whatever. Fine.
You're old. That's fine.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
You can follow my old ass on Twitter and Instagram at BrentFFF. You can also follow my band, Far From Fiction, FFF Band MI. We got some shows coming up and some other things. I just bring it up because the intro music to this podcast is my band. It's our song Worth It. So if you enjoy the introduction to the podcast, then you might enjoy the rest of our music. Or the parts with words. It's just the beginning riff. It's fun times. All right, we'll be back next week with more of NXT UK. Until then, thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll talk to you next time.